Hey everyone, it's Emily, your host for the Asian Female Lead podcast. I caught up with Shilpa Jain, an amazing, thoughtful entrepreneur who grew up in Singapore, and she later went on to work as a corporate lawyer in Australia. I actually know her from a previous interview we did for Krasia on mental health. Her motivation to launch her own startup came from her experience in dealing with burnout, stress, and anxiety, which honestly, a lot of us can relate to. She quit her job as a corporate lawyer and later founded Talk Your Heart Out, which is a Singapore-based online counseling and coaching platform that aims to make mental health support more accessible and affordable. I got to catch up with my friend and talk about things that really hit home for the both of us, like seeking new communities, expression of individualism, and being type A woman.
We're live! Welcome to my radio show, Shilpa. Thanks, Shilpa, for being here. Shilpa is my friend, and she is also the co-founder of Talk Your Heart Out here in Singapore.
Thank you so much. Yeah, this is going
to
be fun.
I think it would be really great for you to give the listeners some context around your background. You can tell me more about you living abroad in Melbourne and then coming back to Singapore and what it's like. What the process has been for you so far?
Where do I start? So I moved to Australia about 9.5 years ago to do my law degree, and that was my postgrad. So it was a Juris Doctor program with the University of Melbourne, after which I stayed on and practiced law for a while. So I did corporate law for a little bit and then had a short stint in government as well. And I returned to Singapore last year in June, and I started Talk Your Heart Out which is an online counseling platform that aims to kind of make mental health support in Singapore more accessible and affordable, and also ensure that the quality of service is good.
And it's an awesome platform. It's very end-to-end, and I think what you're doing is so great, especially in the Southeast Asia part. Mental health is not a topic that's talked enough. Really excited to see where you take it.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it is by far the most rewarding thing I've done with my life. So really, really happy to have started it. I get a lot out of it as well.
One other thing I wanted to also discuss too is when you came back to Singapore, how was it creating a new community for yourself? And what was like your change of mental health too?
Yeah. So I was gone for a really long time, 8 years in Melbourne. And I think coming back to Singapore, I guess what I didn't expect was like a reverse cultural shock, because you kind of get used to another country and you get used to like a different culture, a different way of life. And coming back to Singapore, I guess I had to like, although like I was mentally prepared that I would have an adjustment period, but I did not expect, I guess, to see everything with like new eyes almost. Like I thought, you know, because this is home, Singapore's home, this is where my family is. Yeah. There was still like quite a long adjustment period, I would say.
Yeah, I can assume that like there's that term, right? Becoming more westernized.
Yeah.
And then is that something that you felt happened to your identity when you're overseas? And then when you came back, you're like, whoa, I'm different.
Yeah. Yeah, I think definitely. Like I don't think of it in terms of like in those terms, because I feel like sometimes being westernized in Singapore or in Asia has like a negative connotation almost. It's like you're kind of like losing your cultural roots.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do feel like my values shifted and I like view things very differently, which I guess like is natural because you are exposed to a different life in Melbourne. And I do think that things changed for me a little bit, like I would say for the better. So in one sense, I think I was like a little more individualistic.
Yeah.
Coming back to Singapore, I feel like I became more individualistic in my time in Australia. And I think in a good way, because I feel like Australians or people in the West sometimes kind of they don't have that fear that sometimes Asians do in like expressing their opinions or like being forthcoming about their views on something.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I think what I learned was how to be able to do that confidently. And I think that gave me a lot of like clarity as to what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So it had that, you know, like in turn taught me something about myself, because I was able to express that this is what was important to me, or this has been my experience, or so on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that has been a really great journey, because I feel like one of the ways I think I've been able to develop or guard my personal boundaries more strongly, like being more individualistic, understanding myself and like kind of knowing what my boundaries are. And also I think it has improved my interpersonal relationships, for sure.
Interesting. Yeah, it's almost like you know the parameters of yourself and within the Singaporean culture. Yeah. So you've created boundaries for yourself where maybe people from family or friends, they won't overstep, and you have that like Western individualist identity, but you still hold on to the filial piety and you're still connected to like your roots.
Yeah, right. I think so. I mean, I think so, like the way that I make that distinction, okay, so before I went to Australia, I think the way that I made decisions was very much on the basis of like whichever community I was part of wanted as well. Yeah. So there was a lot of consensus building, a lot of like persuading, and a lot of it could be like for something as small as like attending an event together. Oh. You know, like even for something that small, like we would actually come to the decision together, and it would be really difficult to kind of like not, if everyone else wanted to go, it'd be very hard for me to not also attend that event, even if I didn't want to, because there's like, I think at least this was my experience.
Is this in Singapore?
At least this was my experience, because I feel like in Singapore, because it's obviously an Asian society, like it matters what your community wants and like what your family wants.
Yeah.
I felt at least like I couldn't say no to, like I couldn't refuse something unless like I came up with a reason or an excuse for it. So it couldn't just be because I don't want to, because I don't want to see that movie because I don't like that actor or whatever. Like I couldn't just like assert myself in that way in Singapore.
Yeah.
But going to Australia, I felt like everyone like was very open and direct. I think that's the culture there. Or at least in my experience, I feel like people were like pretty direct about this is what they wanted, and also unapologetic that, you know, this is who they are, take it or leave it, sort of. And yeah, it inspired me to do the same. Like I felt like after a while I stopped making excuses. If I didn't want to do something, this is who I am. Like I don't feel the need to like please everyone around me.
I think it's important to learn as well. Yeah. It's funny because I think for me, because I'm super individualistic, and then I come into like, you know, Singapore, there are things that I'm learning about myself too, on like, you know, what it means to contribute back to like society or be part of a community or like even at work too. How do I get along with everyone?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be that one American being like, no, it's my way, or like, let's do it this. So it's interesting to see it kind of like flip in that sense. But I feel like you still are individualistic, but you have your own parameters.
Yeah.
You still hold on to it.
I think as well, like in Singapore, I feel like people can be like, it's not that no one is direct, right? Yeah. That's not the case. It's not that no one tells you what they are truly feeling.
Yeah.
It's more that there's also like a lot of different overlays. So for example, hierarchy kind of plays into that as well, because you may be like direct with your peers, but you may not do it in a setting where you think there's like someone has authority over you.
Okay.
So for example, your employer or parents, or like if you're a student, then your teacher.
Yeah.
Like, that's all, like in those sort of settings, it becomes really hard to kind of like voice your opinion, I feel. Whereas I felt like, you know, I think I'm Western in that sense now, in that like I'm used to like a less hierarchical sort of setting.
Yeah, like flat structure.
Yeah, a flat structure.
Yeah.
Exactly. I felt like my experience in Australia really taught me that, because like decision making there, particularly in the workplace that I was at, like it was really like inclusive and collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
Like I felt that my opinions mattered as much, even though I was like maybe at the bottom of the corporate ladder. Yeah, and I think that mattered less, more that if you have something to contribute, like you were welcome to say something about it.
I mean, now that you're also like starting your own company, what values are you gonna bring in from like the Asian culture and from like the Western culture?
I think that's definitely something I've been trying to inculcate in the culture. That so we've got a small team, but and of course everyone has different roles, but at least I hope that no one feels that they can't speak up. If they have a good idea and it makes the project better, they should express themselves. So yeah, that's definitely like a flat structure, very inclusive sort of structure is what I'm hoping for, and also a diverse sort of setup. You have like different voices contributing to the project. I think that's really important to me, and I think that's also something that I learned in my experience in Australia.
You're kind of taking like best of both worlds and incorporating it. I realized I completely like went off tangent, but
not at all.
I think what would be interesting too is also understanding how your communities have changed as well, right? Because you were living in such a westernized community back in Australia, and then you come to Singapore, and then your community here has changed as well. And you're Indian, Singaporean Indian, or is it Indian Singaporean?
Actually, I'm Indian, but I'm a permanent resident here. I grew up here. Yeah, I spent majority of my life in Singapore. So I would say I'm a Singaporean.
I think you would. Yeah, that's another like identity thing.
Yeah, totally.
I guess my question would be like, how do you identify yourself when someone asks like, oh, where are you from? What do you say?
That's a really hard one because, so I grew up mostly in Singapore, but so I was born in India and I spent some time in Indonesia as well.
Yeah.
And then Singapore and then Australia and back in Singapore now. But I think I would like say I'm Singaporean mostly because most of my friends are here. This is what I consider like home because my family is here as well. Yeah. So yeah, I would say I'm Singaporean. But it's always hard. Like I always like pause for a little bit when I'm answering that question, almost like reconsidering what my answer should be.
Singaporean. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. I mean, I kind of feel the same way sometimes when I'm American and they're like, but you're Asian. Right? So it really, I mean, sometimes it just gets really tiring, like having to explain yourself too. So yeah, like what was your community in Australia and how is it different?
In Australia, so when I first moved to Australia, I thought that was going to be for a limited amount of time. Like it was going to be 3 years for the duration of my degree.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make like a conscious effort to kind of immerse myself in Australian culture and meet a lot of Australians. So the way that I went about choosing my extracurricular stuff was on the basis of like my interests and also with the view to meet a lot of Australians. And so like, you know, I could have been in part of like the Indian cultural club, but I kind of like steered clear of that only because I thought that it was going to be like a 3 year stint. I really wanted to make the most of it, but it ended up being longer. But in terms of my community, I would say that most of my friends in Australia were from my course or practicing law. Mm. So most of them are lawyers. And I did join other interest groups as well. So I joined improv and Toastmasters.
Oh,
and like I have a lot of friends from there as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like a mixed group, I would say. Mm-hmm. But my inner circle is mostly like Australians who have some connection to Asia. Either they have lived in Asia for extended periods or they have like partners who are Asian.
Yeah.
And also Asians who have spent a lot of time in Australia. So like a real mix.
I think, we do tend to connect with people who are very similar in that sense. Yeah. And I love that you didn't actively seek people who are the same as you. You looked for people who had different interests or the similar interests as you and like built a community around that. Yeah. What about your community now in Singapore? How does that look?
Yeah, so I think what I'm trying to do now is to kind of replicate that experience that I had in Australia in Singapore as well. So I think one thing that I really loved about my community back in Australia was that it was so diverse. So even if, like, I think majority of them were Australian, but they were all from, like, they had different, like, they would belong to different heritage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like cultural background. Ancestral
they had different
roots.
Yeah. Right, ancestral roots. Like, is that
the lineage?
Yes. So they were from different cultural backgrounds. Like a lot of them were like Greek Australian or like Italian Australian or like Asian Australian. So I think what I'm trying to do now is also to kind of, not just in terms of cultural background, but also like a mix of interests and but basically the idea is to kind of have a diverse group of friends in Singapore as well. Mm-hmm. And I think what I'm trying to do is to connect more on values that I have as opposed to similar experiences or similar backgrounds. Because I think that like having spent time in like different countries and also doing different things, I started out in science and now I practiced law for a while and now I'm in entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. I feel like my experience has been so diverse that I can't find someone with exactly the same background as me, but we can definitely connect on like other things.
The idea of connecting with someone based on values is really important, right? I think when we're younger, it's always, based on, like, interests or just whoever is in your same class.
Yeah.
And as we get older, we realize how important our time is and we cannot be spread so thin. So, finding friendship or finding, like, your partner based on, like, core values is important.
Yeah.
Good takeaway.
I think that's right. Like, as I've grown, like, become older, I feel things, like, different things matter more to me. Like, I've become more conscious of values such as compassion and, you know, it's just respect for one another. I think those things matter more as opposed to, like, where you're from or what you used to do.
Yeah. Do you, while you're in Singapore now, like, how are you trying to find those people with the same values? That's hard, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to navigate.
Yeah, it is really hard. But I think some of it is just, like, I mean, I'm meeting a lot of people through work and a lot of people through mutual friends. So I guess in terms of where these people are coming from, they're everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's more that I think sometimes it gets tricky to say no to things that you don't want to do or be part of communities that you don't necessarily feel like you belong in. So I feel like that is a little bit, and so that's what I'm trying to get better at, to like kind of carve out more time for the things that I want to do and say no to the things that I don't really feel like now is the right time for.
Saying no is really important too.
Yeah.
I was also thinking, like, you're in an industry, right, with which is around, like, mental health, and I think a lot of good values come from that space, like empathy, kindness, and education. Yeah. Yeah. So I see you finding good people in that space.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've been really blessed. Like, everyone that I've come across through work, they've been, like, simply amazing. So it's actually been, like, easier than I thought it would be to rebuild a community in Singapore. Because, I mean, a lot of my, like, older, like, my friends that I used to have before I left, they have all moved overseas or they're, like, doing different things. So, I mean, I'm reconnecting with some of them, but a lot of them are actually not in Singapore.
That's the difficulty of, like, Singapore being so transient.
Yeah.
After being overseas and then coming back, what would be, like, the three words that would describe you now?
I would say a daughter. A daughter, an entrepreneur, and a friend. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are good ones, yes. Yeah. I think what you're doing, too, is really building a strong community here in Southeast Asia, or in Singapore for now, and building, like, the mental health community space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has your own personal identity has probably changed from being an entrepreneur as well, right? And I think we've talked a lot about setting boundaries and going after what you want. And I think we both agree that we're both very, like, type A, right? You know, like, we go after what we want. Have you always been type A, like, since the beginning, or is that something that kind of just accelerated as you went into law? Yeah. But I think you have to be type A to be a lawyer too.
Yeah.
So maybe you had it all along.
I know, it's hard. It's really hard to, like, know when did you, anything that you are now, you always had the capability of becoming.
Yeah.
So it was always inherent in you, like, there was some part of you that was already that way.
Yeah. You were always type A.
Right.
I was too. You just grew up with it.
Yeah. So that's a really hard one. I think I was always pretty driven. Like, I think I was always... So here's the truthful answer. I think I have very limited interests apart from, like, whatever, like, is the main preoccupation at the time. So when I was studying, I studied very hard and I studied a lot. And now that I'm working, like, I'm, like, truly immersed in it. Like, I think about it quite a lot. Like, I don't turn off that easily. And I think that's just, like, a personality thing. I'm not making myself do something that's unusual to me. It doesn't come naturally. But yeah, I think I'm, like, truly just fully immersed. And I think being, like, a type A personality comes from that.
So one thing I was also, like, thinking too, because, like, type A personality is, like, always ambitious and, like, trying to achieve something. Or they're always, like, their minds always run and working. It's like, where does that stem from?
That's a very deep one. I should ask.
I can tell you mine.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So I thought about this. I had this conversation with my dad. It was, like, more of, like, I think at a young age, I didn't feel like I was, like, validated enough. And it again, it's like that whole thing, like, growing up with Asian parents. I think I need someone who's like, you're doing a great job. Like, good job. You know, like, you're doing great. I don't think I got that. And so at a young age, I was like, I always felt like I had to prove myself to the world. And I think that's where the type A comes from. Because it's like, oh, I'm proving myself to the world, but no one's telling me to do it. It's just me doing it to myself. It's a good thing and a bad thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's made me more ambitious than I need to be. But... yeah, it's interesting. Is it an Asian thing?
Yeah. I was just going to say that I think that sounds a lot like my story as well, because I feel like you don't get validation or compliments that easily from Asian parents.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah. Are you the younger child
too? I'm the older one.
Oh, you're the older
one.
Actually, I can see you being an older child. I'm the younger child.
I've got a younger brother.
Okay.
Could be that. It could have started with, like no matter how well I did, no one really told me that it was good enough.
Mm.
Okay, and I think there's this one concept. Basically, when I was younger, my parents always told me to try my best.
Yeah.
And I think that's it's a little bit hard to kind of quantify what that means. Like, what is your best? Yeah, exactly. If I don't sleep all night and I just keep working, is that trying my best?
Yeah.
Is that the only time you can try your best, because you're, like, basically spending every free minute of your time, or, like, even, like, carving out time from your sleep even to be doing the work that you're doing? Yeah, so I'm not sure. Like, I just feel like because that's my guiding principle, I feel like it's just never good enough. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can always do more to make it even better. Even harder.
Yeah. Well, that's a question too. It's like, is there ever an end
to
that ambition, right? Like, and you're like, say for your startup, right? Like, let's say it's 5 years from now, it's the most successful, like, digitalized online counseling platform. Then what, right? Like, what's the end?
Yeah, I think with the startup, it's slightly different, because my goals aren't, like, to kind of kind of satisfy my ego. That's not the goal.
You're doing it for yourself.
Yeah, I'm really doing it for, like, I want to provide a good service for my clients, and that really matters. Like, at the forefront of my mind, I'm only thinking about, like, how do I make it even easier, even more affordable for my clients? So I think the motivation is slightly different, but I, like, the concept is the same. Like, I don't know what best is. Like, we can't, how do I get there? I don't really know. So, I mean, it's a constant struggle, and I'm trying to think of, trying to, like, come up with milestones or goals ahead of time. I don't know if this is a good strategy, and I need to reflect on this as well. Come up with, like, goals ahead of time, and then if I reach it, then to congratulate myself that I've done it, like, instead of, like, thinking retrospectively, oh, I could have done better. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
but it's also, I also realized too, like, just talking to you and all my other friends, the gratitude or, like, the validation has to come from ourselves. Like, we always are searching for it from someone else, like our parents or someone, our superior or whatever, but it really, the validation has to come for ourselves, and that's by, like, celebrating goals or, like, the milestones that you set for yourself.
Totally. I think it's a constant struggle, though.
It is. It really is.
Sometimes I feel like I've cracked it, but I think it's more like riding a bicycle. It's like you just have to maintain that balance. And like what you said earlier, it is also the drive to kind of do better. But at the same time, it's also like it can get a bit tiring. Exactly. When I get tired, I just want to switch off and not think about it. And I mean, sometimes, you know, what they, like, it's true what they say, your best ideas do come when you're, like, taking a break. And then I start writing again.
Have you found a lot of, like, type A people in Singapore? Like, your friends? Is that, like, your community? I was like, we gotta go back to the community angle.
That's an odd thing to bond over.
No, I mean, but we go through the same struggles, though, right?
Yeah.
That's why we can connect on.
Yes and no. I mean, they're all, like, they are high performing. A lot of my friends are high performing.
Yeah.
But it's hard to tell, like,
It's interesting because, like, especially with COVID, I realized sometimes how much... Yeah, we do have to, like, slow down and just take things a little bit slower, especially, like, for people who are type A. They're like, there's not, we can't accomplish everything in, like, one go. So,
yeah, I think that's right. I think COVID, like, in particular, has, like, brought that to light, like, that I think so many things. I mean, this year has been very clarifying for me, because you do realize the importance of, like, health. You know, if you have health, then you have, like, everything else can be sorted. And also the importance of, like, close relationships and a network or a community to kind of rely on. And I mean, like, the social isolation that I felt this year, there was, like, nothing like it. And that really, really, like, clarified it for me that it is important to invest your time in the right relationships and also in your own health and really, like, maintain a good balance. Because they... Yeah, there'll always be time for work later. And work is, like, never ending as well.
I mean, it really is. Sorry. Work is really never ending. To kind of round up, you know, this conversation, what are you looking forward to the most in 2021?
That's a hard one. I think I'm really excited about Talk Your Heart Out, frankly. I want to see... I've got so many ideas in mind and I want to see it grow. But I'm also, I think just finding a balance for myself would be really good. I think I'm most excited about my business. I think I'd like to find a balance. That's what I'd like to do. Find some time for the other things that I'm interested in as well.
Thanks for sharing your thoughts.
Thank you for having me.